Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you're guiding and directing all that we do. Pray that we might get something out of this Sunday school lesson that we can use for our own lives. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we're going to be looking at a guy by the name of Absalom. Who was Absalom? Anybody know who Absalom was? Nope. Absalom. Who's Absalom? Absalom was one of David's sons. And in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2, it says, And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon of Ahinaam, the Jezreelite, and his second was Chalidabeb of Abigail, the wife of Nabal. We talked about Abigail last week, the Carmelite, and the third was Absalom, the son of Micah, the daughter of Tamil, the king of Geshur. Now, here we see that actually, well, then the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth was Stephanijah, the son of Abital. So you can see that David had just a few sons. He had seven that were born over in Hebron, or six, I'm sorry, he had six that were born over in Hebron, and one of them was Absalom. Now, Absalom was a snot-nosed brat. And Absalom, now I'm believe it or not, I'm shooting from the hip here because I lost my Sunday school lesson just a little bit ago on my computer. I hit the wrong button and it was gone, boop, and I couldn't restore it. So anyway, so I'm doing it all from memory because I wrote this yesterday and so I have a pretty good idea of what it was. But anyway, Absalom, here we see that he was a snot-nosed brat. He was raised in the king's palace. After David had become king, he was born in Hebron, and that's where David first set up the kingdom, was in Hebron, and then he moved to Jerusalem after the two countries came together, after Israel and Judah came together, and they formed one nation. But here we see that that Absalom was born up in Hebron. He was not the firstborn, but yet he was David's favorite son. David loved Absalom more than any other of the sons he had born, including Solomon. And Solomon was born to Bathsheba. And so here we see that David loved Absalom a lot. And Absalom, he was not a very good boy. In fact, Absalom had taken and had killed Ammon. That was his half-brother, his step-brother. And the reason he did is because Ammon had, and we talked about this a while back, Ammon had raped Tamar, and that was Absalom's full sister. And so Absalom was so upset over that that he had his men kill Ammon, and then Absalom fled from the kingdom. He left the kingdom, and he was gone for 3 years. And David mourned his being gone for 3 years. Now, Absalom, the reason David liked Absalom was this. David, or Absalom, the Bible says that he was good looking. He was very, very good looking. He had no blemish upon him. You know, he probably had the best dermatologist he could find. There was no pimple on Absalom. He had no zits. How'd you like to have that, man? No zits. Wouldn't that be nice, Noah? Huh? No zits? Oh, okay. But, you know, the thing is, he was perfect in the way he looked, the way he handled himself. No doubt he had some of the best clothes that we bought. time period, David would take an I'm sorry. But anyway, because at this time period, David was receiving a lot of cloth and a lot of different things from other countries. And Absalom had access to all of this stuff. So he had probably the best clothes. If he wanted designer jeans, he would have designer jeans. If he wanted a designer whatever, he got it. Whatever he wanted, he got, because he was spoiled rotten. And he was. He was spoiled rotten. David would give Absalom anything that Absalom wanted. And so, you know, Absalom was one of these kids that never had to do anything for himself. He always had servants there to do everything for him. If he needed something done, he would just order it done, and it was done. And this happened all the way from the time he was just a child up until he was older. Now, what happened with Absalom was this. Is Absalom, later in life, he became so into himself. You know, much like a lot of teenagers are today, into themselves. They think to themselves, well, you know, I'm so good looking. I'm so good. You know, I can do everything myself. I don't need any help from anybody. And David never corrected him. David was not the best parent there ever was. After all, he raised Ammon, his firstborn. Ammon raped Tamar. And, I mean, these kids were not very good kids. They were probably worse than what most kids are today. And today they're really bad. But so here we see that Absalom was not the best child there ever was to live upon the face of the earth. And so what happened is later on in life, being as good-looking as he was, you know, I'm sure he had all the young ladies following after him. You know what I mean? Oh, look at Absalom. He's riding a horse. You know what I mean? And so I can see how the women would take and chase him. And so he felt that he was more important than what he really should have. And he had a lot of people following him because of his good looks. You know, they were looking at the outward appearance of him rather than looking at what he could be as a king. And as time went on, we see that Absalom had taken and won the people's hearts away from David. Now, what we need to realize is that as he won the people's hearts, he took more and more of the kingdom away from David. And all of a sudden, one day, he is going to go up against David and fight against David to take the kingdom away from his dad. Now, after the 3 years that he was gone, Joab, the king of the the captain of David's army, told David that he needed to take and have him come back, and that he needed to have Absalom back with him. So David did. He came back, and when he did, then we see that Absalom became one of David's worst enemies. And so it was amazing, because when Absalom came back, David would not talk to him for a year. He would not call him into his presence. He just let him be in the kingdom. And this really upset Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses starting verse 1, it says, "It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses of 50 men and ran before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had any controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And they said, Thy servant is of the tribe of Israel. And Absalom would said unto the him, see thy matters are good and right, but there is no man disputed of the king to hear thee. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And so here we see that Absalom wanted to set himself up as the judge in Israel. Now, who was the only one that was supposed to judge people in Israel? Who was the judge? King. The king. They would bring everything that was of real tough matters to the king, and the king would take and judge between right and wrong. And so here we see that that Absalom went and set himself up as a judge at the gate of the city. So when people came into the city, he would have them ask, well, what are you doing here? If they said, well, we came in to have this matter judged by the king, he said, well, come on over here, I'll judge it myself. And so what he did is he started getting the hearts of the people towards him, that he was giving good judgment, and they weren't going to to David the king. Now, so here we see that Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gideonite, that David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Here we see that the people were starting to follow Absalom in a very, very great rate. The people were saying that we need a younger king. We need new and fresh ideas. After all, David is getting old at this time. Many feel that he was up in his 70s at this time period. And so David was starting to slow down a little bit. He was continuing to keep the old habits, the old way of doing things. And everybody wanted to look at Absalom, and they wanted the new and improved ideas. And because Absalom was a king's son, they decided to follow him, and that they would take and fight against David, and he would take and Absalom would be the new king. Now, what we need to realize is this, is that if David would have raised Absalom correctly, Absalom would have had respect for his dad. And he did not raise his Absalom the way he should, and so Absalom had absolutely no respect whatsoever for his dad, and he wanted to take away the kingdom from David. Now, we need to realize that David did not want to fight against Absalom. And the reason David did not want to fight against Absalom is because, what was David? Yeah, but what else was he? Huh? He was king, but what else? He was a father, what else? Huh? Yeah, but what else? Yeah. But there's not one other reason why David did not want to fight against his son. And that was because David was a warrior. David had been in many, many, many battles. Absalom had never fought in a battle, ever. And David had seasoned men with him that would fight to the death. They would go into a battle and they would fight until they won that battle. And they just kept fighting, kept fighting, kept fighting. And David knew that if he went to war against Absalom, that there was a good chance that Absalom would die. He knew that there was a good chance that there was going to be a lot of bloodshed. He realized that there was going to be a lot of loss of life if he went to war against his son. Now, what we need to realize is that David was very wise, and he took his men, and he took his followers, and they left, and they went towards Hebron, and they went into the wilderness, and they were going to hide in the wilderness away from Absalom, so Absalom didn't know where they were. And so that's exactly what they did, is they went out and they went away from the city of Jerusalem, and Absalom set up his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. Now, as time went on, Absalom wanted to make sure that his dad was dead. He wanted to kill his dad. Above all else, he wanted to kill his dad, because that way he would be able to set up the kingdom and he wouldn't have to worry about David coming back and taking back over the kingdom again from him. And so he went out, and they were going to go to battle with Israel, and David sent up his men, Joab, and his men went up, and they were in a grove of trees, and Absalom was riding on a horse in this grove of trees. Now, the only thing I can picture this is that his hair was very, very long, very long, and he had it piled up on top of his head. He had a big bun, big bun, big bun. You know, kind of like the football players have today. You know, they have the little buns. Well, he had a big bun. And he went underneath an oak tree. And when he went underneath this oak tree, one of the branches of the oak tree went through his hair and took him right off the horse. And he was hanging by his hair in this oak tree. So here he is, hanging in this tree by his hair, and he couldn't get out. He couldn't get his sword up high enough to take and cut his hair to get free. And so here he is hanging in this oak tree. Well, it was told to Joab that Absalom was hanging in this tree. So Joab went up and he looked at him, and there was Absalom hanging in this tree. And Absalom's hollering at him to get him down, get him down. So Joab took his spear, and he speared him and killed him in that oak tree. And so when David found out that Absalom had been killed, he was very sad, and he wept over Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, starting verse 1, it says, "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto the people, for the people heard say that that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealeth that day unto the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came unto the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all the servants which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of your concubines. And that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servant. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now." And so here we see that David had so much love for his son Absalom that when he found out that he died, he cried and cried and cried over Absalom, that even though Absalom wanted to take the kingdom away from him, even though Absalom wanted to take and kill all of the rest of his children, he wanted every one of David's kids killed, every one of them. he wanted all of his wives killed. He wanted all of his concubines killed. He wanted every relation of his dad totally wiped off the face of the earth, so that there was no record whatsoever of them ever. And yet David still wept for Absalom. You know, the love that he had for Absalom was greater than any other love that he had for any of his other children. And Joab was a very wise man sometimes. He wasn't wise all the time, but he was wise in that he came to the king and he told him, he said, listen, he says, either you're going to have to take and pull your bootstraps up and you're going to have to take and be a man over this thing, or you might as well forget about having a kingdom. Nobody will follow you ever. He said, what's happening is your servants are seeing you sit here and cry for your enemy. He was your enemy. He was going to kill you. He wanted to kill everything that you had built. He was going to tear down. And if you do not take and suck it up, so to speak, you better take and figure on losing your kingdom, because no one will follow you again. And so we see then in verse 8 of chapter 19 that the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies and delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore we speak ye not a word of bringing the king back. And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of Israel has come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore there then are ye the last to bring back the king? Here we see that the children of Judah were the last to take and come to the king and to give him homage for everything that he had done. Now, we need to take and realize that back in the days of David and the early kings of Israel, people were ruthless. People would rather see you dead than alive, especially if they were in the line for the kingdom. You go through the Old Testament and you look at all of the sons of the kings who were killed by other sons of the king so that they could have the kingdom. It's just amazing of how ruthless they were and how hateful they were towards each other. But we need to realize that our children are the heritage of the Lord, and he's given them to us to be trained and to be taught and to be raised in the nurture and admonition of him. We need to realize that if we don't correct our children when they're young, they will not grow up to be the people they need to be. You know, one of the problems that we're having right now in this country is that our youth are not being taught the principles they need to be taught. And now, I don't know about you, but I never want to live in a socialist government, ever, where everything is owned by the government, everything is owned by... we have absolutely nothing. No one has any net worth whatsoever. I can remember reading in history books of the Second World War and of Germany and the First World War, where Germany and them, they went into a socialist government. They took everything away from the rich, everything. They took all of their wealth away. They took everything, and they gave it around to everybody evenly. All of a sudden, there was no food, there was no cars, there was no industry whatsoever in those countries, because the people who were making the money The people who had the businesses said, why should we make any product when we can't make a profit? You know, we can't get ahead, so why should we do it? And many of them fled to other countries where they could take and set up their businesses and things like that. And what we need to do is we need to realize that our next generation that's coming up has got to take and realize the importance of having the freedoms that we have. You know, everybody just wants everything given to them. You know, all give me, give me, give me. And Absalom was the same way. You know, whatever he wanted, David gave to him. You know, if he wanted a new chariot, David gave it to him. If he wanted a girlfriend, David let him have her. You know, everything that he had, David let him, you know, anything he wanted, David let him have. Now, what we need to realize is this, is people need to work for what they get. Amen? I mean, let's face it. You know, if we are going to give our children everything, when they grow up, they're going to expect everybody to give it to them when they get older. And that is what has happened the last 12 years, believe it or not, in this country, is that we've been into a cycle where everything was given to everybody by the government. Yeah, unemployment was the worst ever in this country. The net worth, the stock market was at the lowest point it had been in history. And yet, just in the last 2 years now, we're starting to get back on track again to where we need to be as an industrial nation again. And, you know, why people feel that they can just sit back and not have to work for what they have is beyond me, other than they were spoiled when they were children. Now, I'll be the first one to say I was spoiled as a child. I was the baby of the family, and my mom spoiled me. However, I still had to work. I still got up every morning, and I had to go to the store, and I had to work. I had to cut meat. I had to cut cheese. I had to go after supplies and stuff. I mean, you know, I worked hard, and I had good work ethics. But my dad taught me, in order to take and get ahead in life, you have to work hard at it. Nothing is going to be given to you. You've got to take and work hard at it. And in our society today, kids are being taught that they don't have to work, that the government will take care of them, that all they have to do is just sit back and let the government take care of everything. And that's exactly what they're being taught in schools. And it's bad because someday, all of a sudden, we're going to lose all of our freedoms, and they're going to sit back and they're going, oh, did we make a mistake? And then guess what? It's going to be too late. It'll be too late. Then it's going to be a major civil war to get back the rights that we once had. And there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. There's going to be a lot of people die because of the mistakes of the parents now not raising the children in the way that they should go. You know, you look at, and it's a sad commentary, it really is. You know, David could have taken and raised Absalom the way he should have been raised. He could have raised him to be the next king. But that isn't the way he raised him. He raised him as a snot-nosed brat. And by doing that, we see that Absalom, over time, he wanted to take the kingdom away from him. He wanted to take and be king himself without having to take and work for it. And he thought that he could just go ahead and do it. And we need to realize that our children are the heritage of the Lord. And we need to take and train them so that they know what they need to do in the next generation. I'll be honest with you. This here isn't going to cut it in the next 20 years. Somebody's got to grow food. Somebody's got to take and work the farms. You know, right now I look at the number of farms that are closing in the United States, and it's astronomical. Do you know that right now, if we had a famine or had a drought in the United States, within 30 days, if we had a nationwide drought, within 30 days we would have people killing for food. Right now, today, do you know that if there was a shortage of food, that we would have 2 days of food in the grocery stores? 2 days. That's it. And I'm talking Walmart distribution. I'm talking all the big warehouses and everything else. We'd have 2 days of food, and it'd be all gone. That means the people would be able to survive for about 30 to 60 days, and that would be it. 30 to 60 days. And we would have bloodshed in the streets for people fighting for food because there would be no food. You know, we have a country right now that has abundance of food. However, it could change very quickly. And our farmers are going out one right after the other. We got one little girl in school. Mom and dad milked 2,500 cows. They just sold all the cows. My daughter and son-in-law, they milked over 300 cows in Wisconsin. They sold the farm, got off of it. My daughter said that their farms in Wisconsin are dropping like flies. She said in the month of February, March, and April, those 3 months, there was over 800 farms in Wisconsin that closed. Well, Wisconsin used to be the head dairy state in the nation. But what's happening? People cannot make money farming anymore. People say, well, I don't know why they can't make any money. Well, if you take and you go into a grocery store, I went in yesterday to Walmart, and milk was $1.98 a gallon. $1.98. That's pretty good price for us to pay for milk. Now, there's if you take and you look at that, you've got 10. You have 10 hundredweights or 10 gallons of milk in 100 pounds. Okay, farmers are paid on a 100-weight basis. And farmers right now are receiving, let's see, the last time my son-in-law got a milk check, he was getting $13 a hundred for milk. $13, that's $1.30 a gallon. That's it. $1.30. You say, well, that's a little bit of a spread. No, that isn't. Because if you take and you look that over 50% of the cost of the food that we have comes in manufacturing. It comes in packaging, manufacturing, and things like that. So with that, milk should be about $3 a gallon or more, but it isn't. And so here we see that farmers just can't make it anymore. And it could be the devastation of many of us here in this land. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct in the church service. Just pray that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 8 minutes.